Rick Sutler, I'm an Elkin. And this has been a really good experience for me. It's like I'm working the steps all over again. Each one. You know, a couple weeks back I read a little thing from Dr. Bob. It says, these steps are so simple, they don't need no explanation. So I don't know what I've been doing for the last 9 weeks. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Now that's about as clear cut as a step can be, in my opinion. You know, what we started out, we were in sad shape, I'd say, the most of us. And we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we were alcoholics. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. No reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we'll be immune to alcohol. With all the desperation of a drowning man, we reached out for a flimsy reed, and that turned into the loving and powerful hand of God. The steps help us through that process. We have lost the power of choice in drink. We drink, we die. I have abused my choice to drink, and it has been withdrawn. I don't know how, but grateful it happened that way. Dr. Bill, Saint Bill. But he talked about his story about how he got a visit, and he just got so inspired by Abby to tell him what good news he had. And basically, that was really the foundation of what Bill brought forward. And one of the things that Bill did, because this guy was talking, God, and he says, well, if you're having trouble with the word God, you can choose your own conception of God. And I always like to think, I had a picture of what I thought God was, and after I came in here, erased it, I got another one. The one you introduced me to. A loving, powerful, and caring God. Excuse me. And when he made that statement that, okay, I'll give it a try, he talked about he stood in the sunshine at last. You know, it's a picture, there you go. We all like standing in the sun. All he had to do was become willing to believe in a power greater than himself, and he was well on his way. That's how we made our beginning. And he was no different. He declared himself hopeless. Now there might be plenty of hopeless folks in here, but we're not helpless. And he said there, I humbly offered myself to God as I understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. I have not had a drink since. Sometimes I'm totally amazed at these words. They feel so much more comfortable today. When I first got sober, all of them were kind of, you got to be kidding me. We're doing more of this? And that's because, you know, we don't know what we don't know. We're showing up and we go on a lot of trust here. You trusted somebody enough to ask them to listen to your fifth step. Then you humbly ask God to help you out with getting rid of a few things that stand in our way of being useful. And then another list. And then we walk up to somebody and we don't know how the acceptance is going to be. But that's just our path. And step 10 is where we arrive right after step 9. Right after the promises, you know, get you in a kind of pumped up mood. You're wow, I don't know if all that stuff's going to happen for me, but I'd be happy with 2 or 3 because it's overwhelming. And I had not been a person who regularly looked at myself. And once I came in AA, that was sort of the game. Look at yourself, and then go make amends. To get us in a habit of doing that sort of thing, I was very poor at it in the beginning. So much easier to look at you guys. And that's just plain honest. I'm the stuff, when I heard it for the first time, it was, that's not how. He said, this is a design for living. This is how we do it. If you have worked all the 9 steps and you arrive at 10, these are what they call maintenance steps. You know what you've gotten out of the steps, or you should have a somewhat good idea. Do you want to keep it? Hell yeah, I want to keep it. I had already been like a year sober, and I was beginning to like the fact that when I come home from a meeting, my wife didn't come up and give me the smell test, you know? She was unsure whether I was going to do this. It talks about, and I read this for years and never got it, a simple kit of spiritual tools. Okay, I missed it. I mean, and that's how it's been in a lot of this stuff. I didn't get it the first time. Second, third, fourth. Spiritual tools, self-searching. Looking for danger signs. Selfishness, self-centeredness, resentment, fear, all them good ones, you know. And I would say that we weren't very skilled at that when we were drinking. It's just a guess. But we've come a long way and there's more work. You got to look at yourself still. We find that we have to acquire a bit of tolerance. You know, sometimes people rub you the wrong way. Oh, we talked about that last week. We're not going there again. But we need to get tolerance to try to see other people's point of view. That's a new concept. One of the other things it talks about is self-restraint. Watch what comes out my mouth. Or written. Facebook, maybe. But that is a top priority rating, they say. But that's something that we have to consider. We judge ourselves by our intentions, but everybody else judges us by our actions. You know, we can think all kinds of good things, But if people still see the same old Rick, it's going to be the same old Rick. We have to be on alert. How's that for a word, huh? For complacency and boredom. So, it's raining tonight. I'm not showered, you know. Those are the little things that you can see that maybe little warning signs that maybe you better reconsider. And it never killed me. I went to a lot of meetings when I was newly sober. I mean, a lot. And I was deathly afraid. I didn't think I'd get this. I didn't think I could do it. But again and again, you guys assured me, this is what we do, and this is what we get. Oh, so easy to say. But we all stumble through the steps approximately the same way. We don't just get them all, and we're done, and click, that's it. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of which we had not even dreamed. Who writes like that? Bill Wilson. You know, rocketed into fourth. I thought somebody was smoking something, because that was pretty outstanding, you know. But the evidence was the evidence. People are staying long-term sober, and they say they do it by doing what we do. Trying to help someone else, sharing your experience, strength, and hope, talking about steps. It was freely given to me, that's all I know. They never wanted anything back. They wanted to make sure they told me extra. I think that was because they thought I was a little slow. But it became what they have uncovered, and what we've inherited is a practical program of action. Gives us something to shoot for. Never perfection. We're all human. We're going to say and do stupid things. If we're able, if it seems appropriate, we make an amend. I'm sorry. I had a lot of practice at that. One time when I was going to a meeting at St. Vincent's, Monday night, I'm leaving the house, and for some reason I'm ready to go, and my wife's calling, and she was, what do they call that? Nagging. No. Verbally repetitive. And it was like, I got a little upset. I go out the door, I get up to St. Vincent's, and I'm saying, well, you know, I got to do something. And there's a phone right there in the lobby when I walked in, right there from the meeting before I went in. Hey, this is, you know who. And, you know, I told her, I said, hey, I'm sorry I acted like that. I'd have never said that when I was drinking. I put an exclamation point on it. Just make sure she understood that. My wife gave me a hug before I come. I said, I'm going to need it. I called my sponsor this week, too, because I was a little concerned that I'm going to talk about God too much. And that's what we do here. We share what our experience has been with doing these steps. And my first sponsor, I was alarmed. I was alarmed. When I would go to detoxes, then people would look at me like, oh my God, you know. And what I was thinking, I'm talking about God too much. And he assured me, if the God thing scares him out, the bottle will scare him back. So don't worry about it. That's our job, to be open and honest about what we found here. And it's humbling for me to be up here telling anybody about God, you know. The words are the words. You know, I don't have to make up any of this stuff. A few little pieces of experience, but for the most part, what it says in the book is outstanding. And step 10 covers almost 2 pages in the big book. And it talks about we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We have entered the world of the Spirit again. Who writes like that? I didn't get that. Ooh, Spirit. You know, it took a long time to really appreciate that. Just like being in the sunlight, you know. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. I love this part. This is not an overnight manner. We just won't complete it. We're going to have work to do till they toss you under. That's what I heard. As much as we'd like to be perfect. When we have problems with those things like selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, if we recognize that, and in the beginning, it's not easy to recall your day and put it in those blunt of terms. It's difficult. Dr. Bob did say these were simple, but he didn't say it was easy. And I can confirm that. We've been talking about work every week I came here now. And now we're on more work. Continue to do what we have done is we put our past in the past. We've told somebody, we've made amends, we recognize what kind of glaring character defects, we ask God to get rid of them, and that's what we do when we're recalling those things like resentment and fear. Just ask God to take it away. I'm a firm believer in that now, but it seemed kind of hokey. Is that a word? When I was new, it just, how do you do that, you know? I mean, it just seemed impossible. And then, if we're still having trouble, we try and help somebody. You know, regular attendance at meetings, sticking your hand out to a newcomer, and whatever we do, you don't have to even talk at a meeting, but you're helping somebody just by being there. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Love and tolerance. Man, they're really piling it on. And like it said in earlier steps, it says, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone. You may recall that concept. Even alcohol. By this time, you may recognize that you're a little more sane than what you were. God, I hope you would be. And we react sanely and normally, and we'll find that this has happened automatically. Is that like another promise? Books filled with them. It's just... But when I first read it, and second read it, and third read it, and I... This was too much. It was heavy. It was too much. My brain wasn't capable of thinking these thoughts. The best thing I did in my first year sober, and probably in my second, was when I would get upset. Let's say I'm at work. Whatever the reason, there's plenty of reasons to get upset. Learning that, how to step back, take 5 or 10 minutes, take a couple of deep breaths, and chill. Go back out there and try and be reasonable. And I would have never done that. I'd have been shaking my finger, telling people this and that. And I did. I'm telling you, I did. It happened automatically that we now react sanely, even to alcohol. We will see that our new attitude, attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. That's a lot of work to get to step 10, but the gift we get is to get that desire to drink taken from us. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I have no understanding of other than what I'm doing. And I can assure you that's been such a major plus. I used to be afraid to talk about it. Like, oh, I might jinx myself if I say, you know, God's taking that desire to drink away from me and nothing to be ashamed of. You know, He showed how powerful He was in my life. And I kept thinking, okay, I got a year. I see people reintroducing all the time. I says, some of them look like they knew more than me and they're reintroducing. I'm thinking, my time's up pretty soon. I'll be joining that list. But that's not just because you have knowledge about these things. This is an inside job. We get that strength from without of us. Somehow that power arrives when you humbly ask for it. I was desperate. I tried like hell. It just comes. This is the miracle of it. You know, when you hear miracles, my attitude towards miracles was few and far between. But when I come to an AA meeting, I see all kinds of miracles. And you guys tend to say similar things. How did I get here? Started out, step one. There's work to be done. But that work is such a small price to pay for a calm and sane life. I didn't know that was the reward of it. That I didn't want to drink was great. But the other part, in our first year, our minds are just, stuff stays in there and you have those debates with yourself, you know. And that's just common experience. And it takes a while to end the day and be able to sit down, think about what's happened today, and not be all wired up. One of the things I found out, I grew a conscience. Your stomach's a good way. You know, if you get home and you've had a long day and you know, it's what we do. You know, it's a ride that I could have never imagined. And it says, we are not cocky, or are we afraid? That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Self-searching. Prayer. Alcohol is a subtle foe. When you're not cured of it, we're given a daily reprieve, contingent on how we improve our spiritual program. I got a long ways to go. I say words that shouldn't come out of my mouth all the time. 31 years. You should hear me. Driving out here, you should have heard me now. But those are minor. We used to stomp on people's lives. The daily reflection, when it talked about, I told her my wife today, I made her what she is today. And she sort of chuckled. And I found that a sense of humor helps immensely when you're trying to patch fences and be real. Because we should start trying to be like a normal human being. That's a plus for us. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. You say, that's where willpower can be focused. All our willpower we want. Look at that. Try to improve. We receive strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit in us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. And they say it's like a vital sixth sense. You know, I know that today, no matter what happens, it's going to work out just the way it's supposed to. Even without me grabbing the steering wheel, it's going to go okay. And those are the kind of things that humbled me when I finally realized, man, that's what's happening. You know, when you first started sensing those promises, and then a few more of them, and you aren't sure if you felt it, as you go on and improve, all those things tend to happen. God did for me what I could never do for myself. And the Father doeth the work. Today, that's a lot of one day at a times we do. I heard people look this up. I have 11,419 days today. I'll forget that tomorrow, but that's where I am today, you know, today. And I must say, I really appreciate you guys asking me and letting me do this. Thanks.
Thanks, Rick. So that brings us now to our question and answer portion of our discussion. Does anybody have a question for Rick?
My name is Barb. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Barb.
And I just want to let you know how I really have enjoyed listening to you speak. You really have a nice sense of humor, and I appreciate it. My question, and I think this about a lot of speakers that I listen to, and I always wonder, so I'm going to ask you, what do you do and how do you get through when you actually do have a crisis that occurs in your life, whether it be a health or one of your children or you smashed the car, just something that really would have back when you were drinking set you off into a real bender. What approach do you take? I know everybody says, oh, we pray and all this, but there's got to be more to than just prayer. So how do you handle that?
That was a dandy question. The first thing that came to mind when you were describing what a potential instance in my life would be, first thing I thought of was call my sponsor. And that has, for me, that has to become automatic. When I'm in turmoil, so, oh boy, I don't know, I better call him. I better call him. And either I'll get him or he'll call me back. And yes, praying. But this is another thing some old timer told me. Back when grass was something you cut and pots were something you cooked in. He said, if you think that something is getting you that might take you out or think wildly, remember when you were the worst. We all have maybe one or two that we can pick out and say, ah, that was brutal. That was ugly. He says, remember that. It's not the first drink. It's you're going to be right back there. And my there is, I almost choked my wife. I was choking her. I didn't kill her. In a blackout. And my daughter, you know, she was screaming and kicking me, and it was like I woke up from a dream. Blackout. And I thought, what the hell am I doing? And I hear so many people say the jails are filled with people that really don't remember what they did. I believe that. I could have been one of those if I was stronger. That came out wrong. But we, jeez, you guys. But that's, you know, one of the tricks, a little trick. We learn a lot of tricks in here. And I found out that there ain't a trick I learned that I should keep to myself. Give you the whole product. Give you, you know, that's what we do. We share. That's the best I can tell you.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bridget.
Thanks. Rich, this was great. I had an instance where, you know, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So I admitted to somebody that I had texted some things. It was really something to do with our kids. Now, the kid I'm talking about is 28, so I shouldn't even been, you know, this mother thing, this mother instinct for a 28-year-old. But anyway, so, you know, I said a couple things, and it was the kids were drinking and whatever. And anyway, her response was absolutely an explosion, and it was volcanic, and it was vile. And she called me every name in the book, and she never wants to speak to me. I'm such a low life, and I was just shocked by the level of venom that, which this person, you know, came back to me. And it really bothered me, because I was trying to say, gee, I'm sorry for my, what I did was, I think I poked somebody who's really has a lot of stress in their life, and I, you know, said something, and that just, so it really hurt me, because she just totally just cut me to the quick. And said awful things, you know, through a text and all this, and going to, you know, take me off Facebook, and going to, you know, block all my calls, like I'm going to keep calling. No, so but so I promptly admitted it, but it was for naught. And I've often thought about it, that the punishment has far exceeded the crime. But that's my fault that I even did that. I had no idea that I was going to incite that kind of response. Have you ever had that happen to you?
To be honest, I can't really say I did. That's sometimes for my wife. She could. No. As you were saying all that, I thought, it's our job to clean our side of the street. You know, you did your job. You made that attempt. And I see you survived. Sometimes it's just that simple. Other people are spiritually ill like we are, and not always in the best mood. But the effort, it's the action that's what we need to do. Thanks for that, Bridget.
Anyone else?
Rick, thanks. I was telling Bruce earlier as while you were speaking, which I should have been listening instead of speaking, but shocking, isn't it? I told Bruce, I said, I'm going to miss you because it's been a real pleasure the last 10 weeks. So my question is when you're working with somebody and you're trying to teach them the 10th step, what is your process in that? Like, how do you get them to, do you have them on their knees? Do you tell them, in the book it talks about, have I been resentful? Have I been, do I owe somebody an apology? Do you take them through that? And then how do you walk them through the practice of the 10th step?
I must say that my experience was, I told you I wasn't very good at it. I was thrilled to make a quick amend. Pick up that phone or walk up to somebody and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's from a drunk, And that kind of shows what God has done with us. That we are able to not, but we share our experience. And I always thought, I didn't get the 10th step. I was thrilled to do the spot check and, step back and relax. It wasn't until a number of years, retreats, a lot of step meetings, and then those answers started to make a little more sense. Because they ask a lot of us, but they give a lot. The big guy's powerful. We do it by experience, that this is what worked for me. I wasn't able to do it like the book says for maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And then I started. That conscience and that gut lets you know at the end of the day, how'd you do today? We all do good stuff, but we tend to only look at what we did wrong. All of us have something that we did during the day, even if it was a smile, a hug, whatever the gesture, you did something good today.
So do you make them do a list? In other words, like say, okay, like you just said, we all do something wrong every day, but we also do something right every day. Do you have them write that down? And then do you go over it with them?
I don't have them write it down. I never did that. And it kind of worked for me. So, but if they ask, because if you're sponsoring them or just somebody at a meeting, that question can be answered, because we've had some experience. That's why God brings us here to stay here, so we can answer those difficult questions at times.
Okay, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, so you just kind of freelance it, you don't have like a template or something that you... I know for me, the way I was taught, what happened was I had to list an asset and a defect every day. And then I looked for patterns like we did in the fifth step. And, you know, like in a 30-day period, I was angry only 22 times. And, you know, and you say, well, what's happening with this anger thing? Or, you know, on the positive side, you know... do you do anything formal to where they have some kind of self, help them with their own self-reflection or not?
The book, you know, just read it and read it again and read it slow. And if there's a word in there you don't understand, get the dictionary out. Sometimes that throws us. I don't know if that was a very effective answer, but that's what... I never made a list for step 10. And I probably forgot a few because I didn't make a list. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Rick. I think that wraps it up.